or yourhealthnow.com.
We will win this election.
Wow, Rick Santorum, all of a sudden, he burned it up in Iowa. Statistically, it looks like he finishes just ahead of Mitt Romney, somebody who called that race on the ground in Iowa, or at least she predicted, certainly, Rick Santorum's massive surge a few weeks ago, while it took the rest of us dummies by surprise. Carrie Pickett from the Washington Times. Carrie, I know you're busy. Thanks so much for popping on America Tonight.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, so what did you see in Santorum that you saw this seed was being planted? Did you realize what he was doing in Iowa, that he was all over the place? Is that how you knew he had turned a corner?
Well, I ended up going back to the Iowa straw poll numbers back in August, and I saw that Santorum got fourth place, and I was and I looked also at the fact that Romney didn't do that well either, or rather, actually, the fact that Romney certainly wasn't being paid attention to. But the thing about Santorum was that you had Kane, who was 200 points behind Santorum during the Iowa straw poll, and with all of the money that, say, Santorum put into this whole Iowa excursion that he did, which wasn't a whole lot, and during the Iowa straw poll, you had Perry jump in, Pawlenty pull out, Bachman getting first, Ron Paul getting second. Everybody was essentially not paying attention to Santorum. And they said, yeah, okay, Santorum, you did well, but you know what? We care more about these other people. So they essentially ignored him. And in the end, he just chugged along. And the funny thing was that he's been here for a year, and so he ended up visiting all 99 counties, and he wasn't just talking about himself. He was actually listening to the people of Iowa, while all these other candidates who ended up doing all these counties, they were talking about themselves, and they did it in a, shall we say, quote-unquote, and I'm using Santorum's words, speed dating way. So I have to say, he certainly earned this potential victory as we're seeing these final numbers come in.
All right, so you could hear, and you're there, so you know, the excitement in his voice. How he looks like he's bursting at the seams. I mean, what we're seeing is real, right? He's just elated.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that one of the things that he would get very frustrated with is the fact that he has all this experience up on Capitol Hill, and he'd get very frustrated with the fact that he has a number of candidates there who would say that they're going to do all these things to, say, repeal Obamacare. They're going to do all these things to handle, say, Iran. And he knew that a lot of their solutions just weren't going to work because he knew how the process works there. And I think he'd get very frustrated because he wasn't getting a lot of the time that he thought he deserved, because he'd be out in the wings of the debate where the lower polling candidates would be, and he would want to get that time to really make his remarks, and then they'd kind of go, yeah, Mr. Santorum, just shut up for a second. We'll get the higher polling guys to talk.
So now what do you think happens with Santorum heading into New Hampshire? You've been talking about this, writing about this. He's picking up some key endorsements, hasn't he?
That's right. Apparently he has about 23 legislative endorsements. And that, keep in mind, that does not compare to Mitt Romney's 73 legislative endorsements. He may not necessarily win New Hampshire. I don't see that happening. But he has a great chance to be competitive. And by the way, I'd like to point out that Ron Paul, everyone's saying that, you know, he was going to win Iowa and he was going to at least be competitive in New Hampshire. I think this is a huge blow to Ron Paul. And I kept saying for at least the past week, I began looking at the average age of the caucus goers, and the average age here is 60 years old. And to actually motivate these young voters who they said were going to just really swarm into these caucus sites, I didn't see it happening. You know, people here, as far as caucus goers are concerned, tend to be more of the retiree age.
Yeah, so interesting. What did you get from in watching that, Carrie, and watching these people, as you said, pouring in or going out? What did you get from this caucus process that was interesting to watch? Because you were right there. I would have loved to be a fly on the wall to see some of that.
Sure. Well, you had certainly certainly everyone is curious about this living room sort of a caucus site gatherings, which is, you had people sort of hanging out there and they're taking these paper ballot votes and they fold them and they put them into the box. But even before that, it's either the candidate himself or herself making their case to the caucus voters, or they're having a representative there of the candidate making their case to the caucus voters. And then one particular caucus site, from what I understand, they asked, all right, who's going to be making a case for Michelle Bachmann? And apparently there was just dead silence. And someone said, okay, fine, I'll make a case for Michelle Bachmann. And, that just goes to show that Michelle Bachmann, even though she was a straw poll winner, she just couldn't find the momentum to really take with her from a straw poll here to the caucus. And this is, by the way, the first time this has ever happened, that a straw poll winner has just really scored so horribly.
And she did score horribly. Now, there's being talk, and I'm sure you've heard it on the ground in Iowa, that Michelle Bachmann's campaign and Rick Perry, they're going to go back and reassess. Do you really think they're going to drop out just after Iowa? We'll see him in New Hampshire.
I think they may be hanging around. And Perry, it looks like he's going to be skipping out on New Hampshire. He's going straight to South Carolina. If Rick Perry drops out, it'll be because he ended up doing horribly in South Carolina. I don't think that he is going to have Iowa be his last stand. I think he wants it to be a southern state more than anything else, where he ends up being told, sorry, Governor Perry, but it looks like you shouldn't be running for president of the United States.
Yeah.
As far as Bachmann is concerned, it really comes down to money more than anything else. Her campaign, from what I understand, could very well be in debt, and she has her own congressional race that she has to start thinking about. If she doesn't start concentrating about her own congressional district, which, by the way, she really just sort of won, just barely won back in 2010, she may have some of her own problems on her hands.
Yeah. Are you going to be there, Carrie, in New Hampshire or South Carolina?
I sure will be. I'm going to be driving up to New Hampshire on the 5th, and I'll be there all week, and then I'll be heading on down to South Carolina, and I'll be covering that primary as well. So we will be looking at the whole primary process as opposed to the caucus process, a much different animal indeed.
Yeah, I'll be looking for you up there. I'm going to be up in New Hampshire, so we'll try to hook up with you up there, Carrie.
Sure thing.
Thanks so much. We appreciate your time.
No problem.
All right, Carrie Pickett right there on the ground as things were unfolding from the Washington Times. By the way, Carrie's been on Hannity's Great American panel. She's going to be on tomorrow night on the Fox News channel. You can catch her there. And she's been following, like she said, the Santorum surge as she looked at what happened in the straw poll and now, of course, what happened in the caucus, and arrived at the idea that, hey, Santorum is certainly somebody to look at in this, and statistically he gets this, because really it's back and forth in this squeaky tight race in Iowa. But it looks like those two, and then Ron Paul, as she mentioned, he's in third, and Newt Gingrich will definitely take that fourth spot. There's no way he gains any more momentum. We've got some of that, and we're coming back with it next here on America Tonight. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Hi, this is Peter Kronschnabel from Midas Resources. As you know, federal government spending is at an all-time high, and inflation will be a direct result of the spending policy. European government and central bank spending policies have put the European Union on the brink of collapse. What are you doing right now to protect yourself financially? Are your assets working for you or against you? One thing is certain. Having physical possession of gold and silver will guarantee that no matter what happens to our economy or the dollar, your investment will never be worthless. And it will protect you from that hidden tax, inflation. If you've been thinking about investing in physical possession of precious metals or having an IRA in precious metals, I can help. Call me today, Peter Kronschnabel, at 800-686-2237, extension 108. And I'll take the time to personally put together a portfolio designed to protect what you've worked so hard for. Call 800-686-2237, extension 108. You've worked hard your whole life, and I want to work hard for you. Call Peter at 800-686-2237, extension 108.
In the event of an emergency, do you really trust Obama and the federal government to provide for you and your family? Modern-day emergencies like floods, tornadoes, earthquakes, snowstorms, terrorist attacks, or anything else can strike anywhere, leaving your family vulnerable. That's why you can't afford to be without emergency food supplies. If you're like most people, you know that you need emergency food supplies, but you keep putting it off. So, to help you, Ready Reserve Foods is offering a free sample kit of emergency food so you can test our food for yourself. The food really is free. You simply pay for the shipping and we'll send you the food for free. To get your free sample kit of emergency food, simply call 800-453-2202 or visit ReadyReserveFoods.com. Again, that's 1-800-453-2202 or ReadyReserveFoods.com. Don't wait. Call now because the free sample kits are limited. So call 800-453-2202 or ReadyReserveFoods.com.
We don't know what the final vote tally is going to be, but congratulations to Rick Santorum. This has been a great victory for him and for his effort. He's worked very hard in Iowa. We also feel it's been a great victory for us here. Ron Paul as well. Ron Paul's had a great night. This has been terrific. I think it's great that here in the heartland of America that a campaign begins. This is a campaign night where America wins. We're going to change the White House and get America back on track.
All right, a lot of excitement, obviously, around Mitt Romney being gracious, talking about the other candidates and how they fared. This is just the start. It comes down to the wire in the Iowa caucus, and then we head off to New Hampshire and South Carolina, Florida, all that after that for the primary. So here we are. We're in the thick of it, folks. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. If you want to jump in, thoughts on the results. And is there true excitement, do you think? Is there enough push? You heard Romney there say this is the way to take back the White House. So he's saying basically, hey, the Republicans are going to do it. Do you think the Republicans are going to do it? Because the Democrats are still feeling very confident that the guy who's in 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue is going to get it back. And he's going to have the same constituents, the same people who were backing him, back in the fold again. 800-259-5791. Tomas is listening to us in Michigan. Hey, Tomas.
How do I say this, Kate? How do I say this? Let's look at 2008. Huckabee won, right?
Yeah.
Now, the day after he won, how many delegates did he have?
Oh, not enough. Listen, he didn't even have enough money. That was part of the problem. He had Chuck Norris trying to pump him up. But that's what happened. He fell apart after South Carolina.
No, but what I'm trying to get at is he won like 26 delegates that night.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
No one else. So the score was Huckabee 26, everybody else 0.
Yeah.
It's not like 4 years ago. Tonight, The score is Romney 7, Santorum 7, Paul 5, Newt 4, Perry 2, and Bachman 1.
Yeah.
Totally different situation. And so what used to be really important in Iowa, where you could come out, you could be 26 ahead of everybody, is not the case anymore because it's no longer winner take all. No one is talking about that. And, you know, when they wake up tomorrow morning and they look and they say, okay, let me see, you know, how many he won, they're going to be incredibly surprised. And
I see what you're saying, yeah, because we're looking at pure numbers. So if you look at the delegates, because that's what the caucus is really about, and if you looked at just the numbers there, then that's a different story compared to a blowout.
Yeah, and
yeah.
So, you know, whoever won was going to, you know, win 26 delegates. This year, you know, you might win 7 or 8, and the guy in second place might win, you know, 6 or 5. So,
yeah.
Totally different situation, and I believe New Hampshire is also going to be proportional, so that this is going to be a close race. And I am hold on, because I'm still, you know, drying my tears and everything because the Paul mothership had an engine go wrong or something. I don't know, but you got to give it to Santorum. I mean, that was awesome what he did. He went to every stinking little.
Yes.
So, and you know, I'm a conservative. I'm happy to, you know, that a conservative won. A lot of gaming is going on now, though, because remember the Tea Party was for Newt, and all of a sudden Santorum is beating Newt. You see, so everything is upside down, just like that revolutionary song that they used to sing back in 1776. That's the big deal. I think that we have to remember that it's not like 4 years ago. It is still neck and neck. And I'm surprised Perry wants to quit when he's only down like, you know, five delegates. You know, so. Anyway,
yeah, but still he realizes there's patterns that emerge, and you know that. And here's the thing, Rick Perry, he never was the guy for me, I can tell you that, because I live in the state of Texas, and he is not the guy that people think they're getting when they get Rick Perry. He's funny, he has a sense of humor about his gaffes and whatnot, but he's not the guy that's going to win this thing. No way. No way was he. I don't really, honestly. And I think for him, he doesn't want to get battered around. He doesn't want to drag it out if he can't. If he doesn't feel like he can win it, because remember, he's used to just claiming the prize every year as the governor of Texas. That's what I think. I think if he feels like he has to punt, he's going to punt. He'll stay in it for, and you heard her tell me that, he'll stay in it for a little bit. I don't think anyone should drop out after Iowa. And you made the case for me, talking about specifically the delegates versus the percentages. So, yeah, because that's what happens. The county conventions select the delegates for the congressional district convention, blah, blah, blah. So, absolutely, I think they should all stay in it, at least for now.
Well, that's because you're going up to New Hampshire.
That's absolutely right. I want everyone there, darn it. I was upset when Herman Cain left. I didn't want him to leave either. 999, why did he do that? I needed him there. You're right, absolutely. It makes it that much more exciting, too, at the beginning of this odyssey of Iowa, then we go on to New Hampshire. All right, Tomas, thanks. Thanks for pointing that out. Good call. 800-259-5791. Let's go to Sam in Montreal.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
My new saying for 2012? Smashing!
That's brutal. What was your first saying? Simply fantastic?
Yeah.
What was the second one? Lovely?
Lovely.
And now this one is smashing?
Smashing, yeah.
Oh, you're silly.
No, that's
like
what happens
it.
When you have friends who from Brit, from Great Britain. You know,
yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, I want to make sure everyone knows this too, because I just got a text from somebody. What is he talking about? Delegates? There's 28 Republican delegates in 2012, and they assign them from the Iowa State Convention. That's how many they would get. Delegates are chosen then, so
right.
That's 28. That's what Tomas is talking about. All right, what's on your mind?
Okay, I got to give Santoro credit. He went to like Tomas said, he went to every single county in the state of Iowa, probably shook enough hands that he could join a health club, just shake hands and whatever. So, I mean, if I lived in the States, sorry about my little list, but just that, it's just that Julie and I were walking from a New Year's Eve party and I tripped and my face hit a light pole and I lost a tooth.
Oh, that's no good.
Oh no.
Get that fixed.
Well, unfortunately it was late Saturday night, so we couldn't find the dentist.
Oh.
But well, Julie thinks it looks sexy. Don't ask me why. It must be a woman thing. I don't know. Why.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, anyway. But anyway, I mean, I got to give some total credit. He went to every single, you know, if he keeps on doing that, I can picture him running against Obama and maybe even winning. That's the way I'm looking at it. Of course, I don't know his stand on trade with Canada or any other thing, but that's the way I'm looking at it. Will he do it in New Hampshire? Will he do it in South Carolina?
Will he do it in Florida all the way down? Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, Florida, you know, where, you know, and will he go to every single, do you still have Super Tuesday?
Super Tuesday. Yes, there is Super Tuesday.
Okay. Will he go to every single county in the, with the states that are voting on Super Tuesday?
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, some people are hoping, will he have the same energy? Will he have the same energy, that he had in Iowa, will he have it on for Super Tuesday?
Yeah, but here's the thing. Here's the thing that you have to look at with the primary schedule. If you go all the way down, Super Tuesday isn't until March. It's like March 6th, I want to say.
Right.
But if you look at the primary schedule, we know New Hampshire and South Carolina and Florida, and we can go all the way down.
Right.
But after that, you go to Nevada and Maine and, you know, Colorado and Minnesota and Missouri, and I don't want to go through the whole list, but we go all the way down.
Right.
Here's the thing. You have to still have money to fuel that engine,
right,
and you have to have that support. Mitt Romney's getting million-dollar checks from PACs, from, you know, super PACs. He's got to, so Santorum has to get that money. He was riding around in a pickup truck in Iowa, and that's fine, but he's got to be able to sustain some level of a campaign as he goes
right
from spot to spot, and he's got to have some big backers. That's the key.
Okay, yeah, and well, I'm just watching CNN right now, and well, the guy, if I would have lived in Iowa, the guy I would have wanted to vote for is right now in third place, Rick Paul.
Ron Paul, yeah.
Ron Paul.
Yeah. Ron Paul, for Ron Paul, it's still, thanks, Sam, the music means we got to step off the stage, just like when they're handing out those awards at the Oscars. For Ron Paul, I think it's clear that he has some people supporting him, and he, like everyone else, will take it on now to New Hampshire and go on down the line. I don't think Ron Paul dumps out of this lightly, because this is his last shot at this. Hang with us.
Introducing a diabetes breakthrough, an easy, natural, organic way to bring relief to diabetics. Introducing MDS Forte, a concentrated super strength extract formulated for those who are looking for relief. What can MDS Forte do for you? MDS Forte reduces glucose levels safely and effectively, reduces cholesterol and triglyceride levels, increases HDL or good cholesterol while reducing LDL or bad cholesterol. MDS Forte reduces A1C, improves eyesight and circulation to the limbs, and helps with weight loss. Is non-toxic, caffeine-free, 100% natural, 100% organic, and comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Waiting for the side effects disclaimers? With MDS Forte, there are none. Order a 25-day treatment of MDS Forte by calling 213-405-5355, 213-405-5355, or visit bestbloodsupport.com. That's bestbloodsupport.com for MDS Forte, a diabetes breakthrough.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Jason Lewis here. With the holidays just around the corner, be sure to consider the greatest gift you can give to your friends and family. peace of mind. That's why I choose WiseFoodStorage.com. WiseFoodStorage.com offers delicious ready-made meals like cheesy lasagna, savory stroganoff, and pasta alfredo that are packaged for freshness in individual metal Mylar pouches and carry a 25-year shelf life. And they're ready to eat in minutes. Simply add hot water. Request a free entree sample today at WiseFoodStorage.com. And for a limited time, get free shipping and 10% off of your order. That's right, a free entree, free shipping, and 10% off any order. Just use promo code Lewis. Call 855-FOODWISE. That's 855-366-3947. Or visit WiseFoodStorage.com. That's Wise, W-I-S-E, FoodStorage.com. Gourmet emergency food at the best price and the greatest gift you can give to the ones you love this holiday season.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
In a coming-apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborist, shipyards, towline, or boating. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive 100 feet of 550 paracord free with purchase. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Allie C. Why Allie C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Allie C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Allie C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Allie C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Allie C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Allie C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Allie C. For more information and to order Allie C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Allie C today.
Lots of momentum for Rick Santorum. He has to feel good about all the time that he spent in Iowa, neck and neck with Mitt Romney. I mean, it's just down to the handful of votes that are left. It looks like Romney ekes it out, but it's pretty much a dead heat. But okay, so let's call it Santorum and then Romney and then Ron Paul after that and Newt Gingrich. We're talking about the Iowa caucus. Up next, of course, is in the primaries, New Hampshire. We're broadcasting live from there. The next debate, by the way, will be on Saturday night. It's on ABC. Because, you know, these debates have been like the reality television for so many people. They have gotten huge ratings. And that one is in Manchester, New Hampshire. Then there's another debate, and NBC is putting that on, or at least one of the sponsors, NBC, Facebook, and the Union Leader. And that one is also, these are Eastern times, 9 o'clock Eastern, and that's in Concord, New Hampshire. And, of course, after that, the move is on to South Carolina. So game on for the Republicans as the Democrats watch to see what happens and ultimately their convention, you know, that's the, will be the big rallying thing. There'll be the presidential debates and whatnot. Their convention is in Charlotte, North Carolina in September. And for the Republicans, of course, their, convention will be in August, the tail end of August. It's in Tampa, Florida, August 27th through the 30th. That week, by then, obviously, somebody is the guy or the woman. I'm assuming it's going to be one of the men. And at this point, it's very early going. Mitt Romney was the odds-on favorite all the way through this, but it doesn't mean he snags it. Could there be some surprises along the way? And I also asked the question, as the Democrats are watching this, do the Democrats still feel pretty confident that they've got the edge with the incumbent in the White House? I said this before, the thing with the Obama folks, if we're just handicapping it, I mean, take yourself out of your suit of I'm a conservative or I'm a liberal or I'm an independent or I'm a rational progressive or whatever you are, and just look at it, and you always have an edge if you're the incumbent. It's like the old days in football where you had the dynasties. The Cowboys had a certain edge, or the Steelers had a certain edge, or the Green Bay Packers had an edge. In fact, the Packers may have an edge this season after winning the trophy finally again with Aaron Rodgers this time to get back and win the Lombardi Trophy again and claim the title in the NFL as world champs. So in looking at this and handicapping it, you know, what's going to ultimately, if you're the Obama people, if the economy gets worse, if houses, more foreclosures, more problems, all that sort of stuff, I think so much of this rests, so much of what happens with Obama rests on the economy. And clearly, who is going to be the opponent? The theory is anybody but Obama is the underlying current with the Republicans, but is that really going to float the boat of people who are independent out there, make them row to the right instead of to the left? That's the thing to pay attention to. Let's go to Rick in Illinois. Hey, Rick.
Hello, Kate. I remember about 3 months ago I told you Rick Santorum was going to win it all.
Santorum? Yeah. You did say that, yeah.
Yeah, I don't need no polls.
Except for where's he getting the money? Remember, you still have to have the money. That's key for anyone who's running. That's why the Clintons, the Bushes, if you look at the Democrats, the Obama had so much money that was raised for him. In this country, you cannot be poor and get elected. Santorum, it's not that he's completely poor. It's that he doesn't have a lot of money to run on from the big backers, and you got to get that PAC money. Otherwise, how do you run? You can't run on a wing and a prayer. Eventually, you run out of that cash, and you can't compete.
Well, I might start gravitating towards him, you know, start giving more money to him because he looks like about the only sensible candidate. He don't have all that baggage like the rest of them got. So.
Well, you're right. If he starts to get more money, if the Republican Party gets behind him, if more influential people do that, then that would, you're right, that would help him, obviously, so we'll see. That, you know, John McCain was out of cash for a while when he was running for president, and it didn't look like he was looking real good, and then he whipped things around, so
yeah.
maybe I'm wrong about that. Maybe he gets enough backers. He has gotten more money, obviously, in the last couple of days, but that's because of what's happened in Iowa and what the build-up to Iowa was. But does that carry on, or does he end up like Huckabee?
Well, I think Tom Newt gets done hammering Mitt Romney in New Hampshire. I think it's going to be Santorum be last one standing. So
Santorum's going to be the last one standing?
Yeah, because Newt's going to go after Romney. He's going to take the gloves off. And then I think Rick's going to be standing back and let them two go at it, and he just pick up the pieces. And I think most people will start paying more attention to him if he wins this tonight, which looks like he's going to, so.
Yeah.
Well,
they're going to peel back the layers of Santorum, and you're right. There's not a lot to peel back necessarily, at least not as far as certainly not with personal life. There's nothing.
Yeah.
There's no skeletons out of the closet there. And
nope.
He definitely has towed the line. I've dug back in his past, of course, being from Pennsylvania, and there's nothing. I mean, he sticks to what he says, the whole conservative values. There's no question. He hasn't really veered off that. So, and he was a senator, so he knows how the process works. You know, you could be right. I got a friend in New Hampshire that told me the same thing almost the same day you said that on the air, that Rick Santorum is the person to really look at.
Yeah, he's going to be on there. But
Yeah.
Well, I think they're still going to have trouble trying to beat Obama because I think economy started to pick up. I was down in Biloxi last week, or a week, down there in Mississippi, and I didn't see no recession down there. You know, they built two new restaurants where I stay at, close by, and they was all full. Every restaurant I went to different ones. The casinos, there's a lot of people in them every night.
Beau Rivage. Were you in the Beau Rivage?
No, I didn't make that one.
You were in the Hard Rock?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But they's full. I mean, a lot more people than I thought they'd be in there during the week. But they've done all good. All of them's done good. I didn't see a recession down there.
Well, that's the question. The economy. I think really whatever happens with the economy is the key for the Democrats. It's the key for Obama. Because people, I think, look in their wallets. What's in your wallet? If it's nothing and you're struggling and there seems to be nothing but despair, that helps whoever else is out there. We'll see. We'll see where we're at.
I didn't see nothing down there because there's a lot of people from Florida and Alabama down there and, you know, they's on vacation too, so. I think things are starting to turn around. The stock market went through the roof today, so.
Well, it did go through the roof, absolutely. But you know how the stock market is. Talk about gambling. You're standing at the craps table, Rick, and you just don't know what's going to happen day to day. What's happening with the Eurozone? What's going on in Iran? Any hint of negative news, and that thing flips over faster than you can say boo.
Yeah. But I think everything's going to start getting a little better now. People start getting out more and spending a little more money, and they're not scared anymore. Things are starting to get a little better, too. So.
All right, we'll see if other people agree with you, Rick. Thanks for the call. Is Rick right? He paints a rosy picture. Is it all optimistic? Are we in the land of optimism now in the United States of America, or do we still see that people are being squeezed? I think it's, I don't know that I agree with Rick. I mean, I'm a glasses half full person, and you got to smash the glass over my head to tell me that we don't live in the greatest country in the face of the earth and there still isn't a possibility of grabbing the brass ring. But the little bit of the realistic side of me that you dig for, I'll tell you, I don't know. I've talked to plenty of people who are feeling it from all different walks of life. I gave the example on a previous show that I noticed the people that were looking for side work to do anything, whatever, mow lawns, rake up leaves or whatever, that all of a sudden in my neighborhood we were being bombarded by people who were just driving around just looking for, you know, putting out flyers that they have a yard business or whatever, so much so it was almost like litter. It was crazy. And it's because they're trying to get work. They're trying to get that pickup work because people aren't doing. It's like dentists. Dentists are on like speed dial. They've got their assistants dialing up everyone. Because why? When things are tight, are you paying for dentist work? Are you paying for dentistry? And the answer is no, because usually the coverage, unless you have really good coverage, you don't have great. You get like a yearly checkup, but if you have fillings or you have a root canal or some other crazy thing, it costs you out of your pocket. So people skip the dentist. In fact, remember we had somebody on the show, we had a dentist on the show in December saying that the appointments were through the roof, and the reason why is because the people that did have coverage were trying to use it all up in December because that was it. Heading into a new year. So it was wall-to-wall people in the waiting room, and before, it was like a ghost town. So to me, that doesn't point to the fact that things have turned around, and you see the prices at the grocery store and what happens with gasoline. It comes down to what's going to happen in the summer, too, because really, what's in front of our faces, what happens in the summer, what happens as you get closer to the election is really going to matter. Ask the Republicans about that. Remember, banks too big to fail, a killer. I'm sure John McCain just screamed into a pillow when all that happened because that, whether he really had a great chance or not, it was blown when the banks too big to fail happened, the big bailout that infuriated so many people. Stay with us as we race to the finish line.
Yeah. If you're taking 1, 2, 5 or more nutritional supplements, please stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food supplement you can buy. Men, women, children, even Olympic athletes the world over have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. And now take just one nutritional supplement instead of many. The Bio Superfood formulas are whole food products composed with 4 of the most nutrient-dense algae found on Earth. Bio Superfood for the brain helps with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. If you can increase brain health, the rest of the body is a no-brainer. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity and is safe for you and your family. Learn more and order your Bio Superfood formulas at BioAge.com, spelled BioAge.com, BioAge.com, or call 877-288-9116. That's 877-288-9116. BioAge, the age of advanced organics.
Ready to save while getting prepared? Then you're ready for the winter sale at 21stCenturyGoods.com. Take advantage of the incredible savings on all items at 21stCenturyGoods.com. Portable AM, FM, and shortwave radios from $19.95. American Red Cross emergency radios and Kato radios from $28.95. Solar lanterns from $22.95. Solar flashlights, 2 for $16.95. Hand crank LED hurricane lanterns and flashlights from $8.95. Be sure to check out the flexible solar panels to power your emergency and survival gear. Every order over $75 will receive a solar-powered flashlight absolutely free. So get prepared this winter by visiting 21stCenturyGoods.com. Spelled the number 2, the number 1, ST, CenturyGoods.com. 21stCenturyGoods.com. Or call 866-999-8422. That's 866-999-8422. 21stCenturyGoods.com. Power up your survival.
What happened, man? You used to be energetic, happy, and wow, did the ladies love you. Now, you fall asleep on the couch, irritable, and out of shape. Don't be that guy. Call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male, a natural supplement shown to raise testosterone by 50% and maintain healthy, normal levels. No injections, no appointments. With healthy testosterone levels, you can feel that energy again, that great outlook again, and yes, even a healthy sex drive. Right now, you can try Ageless Male risk-free. There's nothing to lose, guys. If you're a man who's noticed changes in your body, your mood, your sex life, call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male. Be the guy you used to be. Just call 1-888-246-0623. Don't wait another day. Just call 1-888-246-0623. Again, 1-888-246-0623.
Percent of the Iowa caucus precincts reporting. Remember, this thing started at 7 o'clock Central Time. Hey, folks. Kate Delaney, we're right there watching the whole thing. It's Ron Paul taking third, Newt Gingrich four. The two top dogs, Mitt Romney and Rick Santorum, actually just slightly ahead of Romney, who's the establishment guy. And what does it mean for anyone who is at the bottom of the pack, Michelle Bachmann and Rick Perry? They're both saying, or their campaigns are saying, they're taking a look at the future. But it seems odd that they would drop out at this point, that Rick Perry goes on to South Carolina and Michelle Bachmann joins the rest of the gang in New Hampshire, because it's still too early at this point to say, I give. Give me the white flag. So we've been talking a lot about the politics of the day because we've got results. We've got the real stuff, the meat, and ultimately who emerges. I gave you some dates talking about the next debates that are coming up and, of course, the primaries and then the national convention and what does that mean and what happens with the Democrats who already know. You know, there was this crazy claim that Hillary Clinton was going to run and there were calls being made and there was a website that was put up saying, you know, Clinton in 2012, but there's absolutely no truth to that. So the latest tally that we have, which is really, it's really a photo finish, but if I were Rick Santorum, I would be psyched. 29,944, Mitt Romney, 29,926. So now with insults flying and a declaration of game on and ready or not, here we come. The stage is set for New Hampshire. Are we going to see the same thing kind of play out there? Are we going to see, you know, are we going to see? And Rick Santorum, by the way, didn't do what you would call a victory speech. He didn't declare victory anyway. He was very excited, and he talked excitedly about what had happened, but he didn't do that because it's still a little bit too close to call. He thanked his family and God and Iowa supporters and all that stuff and, you know, the long road and everything that happened and talked about what kind of a country we were going to be. And he, I think, positions himself because that's the other thing. Is what are the candidates, because they're all running for that same spot, what are they positioning themselves as? And it looks like Rick Santorum is the guy who really appeals to definitely very conservative value type people and blue-collarish type folks too. So those Pennsylvania roots are serving him anyway this time. But this is just the beginning. This is just the beginning. So Wednesday, I meant Wednesday, by the way, Wednesday morning, will he do a speech saying, oh, yeah, you know, we won, blah, 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 blah. Ron Paul takes, I think, something out of this. Certainly that there were people that were younger that wanted Ron Paul, although there are questions about Ron Paul's age. And at 76, you know, Ron Paul, how old do you want your president to be? I think the key thing is, though, really, what do you want in a president? We go back to that same question. We can look at the polls and we can watch what's happening here. But you have to ask yourself as an American, I don't care who it is that you're voting for. First of all, everyone should vote. Because to be in another country and see what happens, unbelievable things happen to people that try to vote with the stuffing the ballot boxes in Mexico for the PRI or the PAN party, the PAN party. It's I've seen it firsthand. And you have a whole different view on voting once you see crazy things happening in other places where they don't have that freedom. So no matter what way you vote, whether people tell you it matters or not, you should absolutely go out and vote because it does matter. It matters. I call it the kvetching factor. If you want to call talk shows and kvetch, you have to at least have voted, meaning you got out of your chair or you left work when you were dog tired and you went and you stood in line for 10 minutes. The last time I went to vote, it was probably, I want to say it was 15 minutes from my house, and I did have to wait in a line, and I was happy to wait in that line. No big deal, as all of you know, when you get in there and you know what you're doing and who you're voting for or whatever, and you just fill it out, and that's it. You just punch it, because mine was one of the touch screen things, and it was that easy. It probably took all of 20 minutes, and there was a line. So shame on anyone who doesn't do that. Now the question becomes, is like I said, when we get into this, what do you want in a president? You know, what is it you're looking for that you think we need in America? We need less debt, don't we? How about somebody who knows how to balance a budget or at least really put the pressure on Congress, since it's in their wheelhouse, to get that done, to get close at least. Oh, get close instead of being so far apart. Officially, 2011, closed with, remember this number, $15.22 trillion in debt. Ugh. Officially at 100.3% of the debt slash the GDP, you know, versus GDP. Incredible. Just incredible. But now I'm just so, I'm so used to the carnage and the ugly numbers that it doesn't, you know, it doesn't matter. It does, but it does, it's all Greek to me because it's all awful. Where we look at the U.S. debt to the GDP is over 100%, or like I said, 100.3%. That's crazy. And of course, nobody wants to pump that out there because they know it's so negative when we're looking at this number and we're just, where's the relief of this? It's insanity. That it just, they just continue to rack this up and don't seem to be concerned with where we're headed. I mean, you know, where are we headed with all of this? And the answer is not in the right direction. So we've got this growth rate, and but we're spending out of control. Spending. So 4 more years, what do you think the debt is? What do you think the debt's going to be then? Are we going to double? I guess what it would be 9 more years and we double that? Oh, man. Then it's time to figure out what the currency is really going to be. Because the monopoly money that we've talked about truly will be monopoly money. It really, really will be. All right, speaking of monopoly money, I feel compelled to end with this because it's such a shocker. Normally I do a segment called We Can Count, and it's about money. Well, this was just absolutely insane, the amount of money that you'll have to have for a 30-second, a company would have to have for a 30-second spot in the Super Bowl. Crazy. $4 million, and NBC sold it out because the audience is there. So the average is $3.5 million. $4 million for 30 seconds. That is just to be at that buffet, the amount of money you have to have. It's like, you know what? We should get these guys, these ad execs, to figure out a way that we could flop off some of the debt by charging money for spots somehow. There's got to be a way to work this. Some kind of budgetary process, make it sexy, have dancers, singers, I don't know. Do American Idol raising money to try to lop off some of that deficit. But that's crazy. When you think 111 million people watched the game last time around on Fox, they can charge that amount of money. I mean, that's a double-digit jump for the game that'll be played out in Indianapolis. $4 million is what one sponsor paid for a spot. Wow. Is it worth it? Can they get that return on investment? I'd be a little bit worried about that, wouldn't you?
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. Everyone is now dumber for having listened to it.
Why, it's an awful lot of money for the stupidest idea I've ever heard.